أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، واللعن الدائم على أعدائهم أجمعين. Dear viewers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The topic under discussion was cultural relativism. In our previous session, I talked about the objections that were raised against this school of thought. I pointed out that based on these objections, we cannot accept this school of thought, and because of these objections, we cannot agree with the theory presented by this school. Tonight, I want to introduce another school of thought that is also very much popular and important in moral philosophy. The objections that were raised against cultural relativism gave rise to another school of thought called subjectivism. Subjectivism is a school of thought in moral philosophy that is actually the outcome of the opposition to cultural relativism. Cultural relativism was of the view that morality is the product of social norms and social practices. Man does not have any say in determining moral values. Persons do not have any influence, any impact, and determining moral values. On the contrary, subjectivism believes that it is the person who can determine moral values. It is not the society that determines social values. It is rather the person who is able to determine moral values. According to subjectivism, when you say that X is, for example, good, you want to say that you like X. When you say that Hitler, for example, was a bad person, you mean to say that you don't like Hitler. You don't like his character. You don't like his personality. When you say that Mahatma Gandhi was a good person, you want to say you like him. You like his character. You like his personality. You like his way of thinking in his way of living. So to say that something is good is another word for the expression I like it. And according to the viewpoint of this school of thought, feelings, personal feelings, are very important. It is personal feelings that give shape to morality. And it is personal feelings that can describe morality. And it is morality that can describe personal feelings. Instead of referring to society, instead of referring to social customs, instead of referring to what is going on in societies, refer to your feelings. And by referring to your feelings, you can come to know what is good and what is bad. If you like something, then you term it as good. And if you dislike something, then you term it as bad. It is your feeling that is important. It is your sensation that matters. And it is your thought that is significant. Always give importance to your thoughts. Always give importance to your feelings. It is your feelings that define morality and that give a structure to morality. Morality is nothing other than your feelings. Morality is nothing other than your thoughts, your ideas, your sensations, your emotions. Then always be thoughtful about your feelings. Be concerned about your feelings. Your feelings are very much important according to this school of thought. This school of thought, as the previous school of thought, produces a number of justifications and a number of reasons in order to make us agree with its point of view and with its theory. One of the reasons that are presented by this school of thought is that, let us pay a glance at the usage of these terminologies and spoken language. Let's see how people use these terminologies. How do they use good, and how do they use the feelings? According to the investigations and according to the researches they have made, they say that based on our studies, there is no difference between the sentence, "I like it," and the sentence, "it is good." People use these two sentences interchangeably. People use these two sentences in place of each other. When they say, "I like it," they mean it is good. When they say it is good, they mean they like it. So they use these two sentences interchangeably and in place of each other, implying that they convey the same meaning, the same connotation, and the same implication. There is no differences between these two sentences. This is one of the arguments presented by this school of thought. There is another argument that is also presented by this school of thought. They tell us to refer to the behavior of people. Let us study the behavior of people. And let us give a look at the behavior of people. If you study their behavior, if you pay attention to their behavior, you will come to know that people are all subjectivists. They knowingly or unknowingly subscribe to subjectivism. They knowingly or unknowingly respect subjectivism. And they implement the principles that are suggested by this school of thought and that are backed by this school of thought. So practically speaking, everybody and every person is subjectivist. But from among the people, subjectivists say, it is only the subjectivists that are honest enough to confess to this fact. It is only the subjectivists that confess that they are subjectivists. It is only the subjectivists that honestly say that we reduce goodness to our feelings. And goodness is nothing other than our feelings. So according to the investigations they have carried out, they conclude that every person is subjectivist. But they are not ready to confess to this truth. But it is only the subjectivists who are ready to confess to this truth. This is another point they are suggesting. Thirdly, they say that objectivity is an illusion. Anyone who talks about objectivism or objectivity, he is suffering from some sort of illusion. Otherwise, what is prevailing and what is being practiced is subjectivism. It is a grammatical mistake to say that goodness exists. If you say, for example, it is very funny, and if you want to imply that funniness is something, is a property that exists in the external world, it is a fallacy, it is a mistake. Similarly, if you say that this building is beautiful, and if you want to imply that beauty is something that is a like a physical property and exists in the outside world, again, it is a fallacy. It is a grammatical mistake. What exists is the substance. Accidents, to use a philosophical terminology, accidents do not exist independently. So according to them, object in relation to moral values is an illusion. It is not a fact. It is not something that is acceptable. What is acceptable is subjectivity. What is acceptable is subjectivism. We must try to reduce moral values to subjective feelings, to your feelings. What are your feelings? It is your feelings that describe morality, and it is your feelings that mold your morality. And morality is nothing other than your feelings. Fourthly, they say that cultural relativism was, as a matter of fact, depriving us of moral freedom. When a person wanted to subscribe to cultural relativism or to moral relativism, he knowingly or unknowingly was living and was saying goodbye to moral freedom. And he was no longer concerned with his or her moral freedom. But according to the subjectivists, moral freedom is very much important. What does moral freedom mean here? They say that if you subscribe to cultural relativism, you are actually the slaves of society. You are under the control of society. It is society that guides you. It is society that controls you. It is society that leads you and that rules on you. You are enslaved by the society. You are controlled by the society. And you do not have any say of your own. You do not have any free will. They say it is very much bad. How can we do? How can we improve the situation? How can we change this state of affairs? They say, by subscribing to subjectivism, we can bring a change. How? They say, if you are a subjectivist, you are the follower of your own feelings. It is your feelings that guide you. It is your feelings that are your master. And it is your feeling that help you throughout. So by following cultural relativism, you are a slave to the society. But by following this school of thought, you became a master of your own fate, and you will be a ruler of your own fate. To explain it further, I must give you some examples. Suppose you like smoking. And let's talk about smoking. Smoking is a practice. It could be a tradition. If you are a cultural relativist, you look at smoking as a social norm and as a social tradition. It is the society that tells you to smoke or not to smoke. As far as you yourself are concerned, you do not have any say in this regard. You cannot play any role in this connection. Every time and always you have to be careful about the society in which you live. Be considerate about the society in which you live. But if you are a subscriber to subjectivism, you don't need to pay attention to social customs. You don't need to pay heed to social approvals. You can refer to your own thoughts and feelings. Your feelings will tell you what to do and what not to do. If you happen to be a person who likes smoking, then you will smoke. And if you happen to be among the persons who dislike smoking, then you will not smoke and you will dislike it. So the source and the origin of likes and dislikes, according to the cultural relativism or the social norms. But the origin of these likes and dislikes are your feelings and your emotions according to this school of thought. Thank you very much.